Okay. Now I want to move into a few additional topics of interest because I get questions on these all the time: potassium, phosphorus, and salt. Okay. Bone mineral metabolism. You've heard me talk about it. So a lot of people will say, if you go online, you'll read, oh, you need to decrease phosphorus. Okay. That is for a dialysis patient. All that information. Remember, dialysis patients' kidneys don't work at all or not enough to stay off dialysis. They might have a little bit of function left, but not enough. So what is phosphorus even? So it's the second most abundant mineral in the body. We need phosphorus for our bones, our teeth, cell membranes. So these minerals that sometimes we have to decrease, they're not bad. We need these things in our body. We just don't need too much. And we want to keep phosphorus and calcium in balance. But in kidney disease, that can sometimes get a little out of whack. If the kidneys aren't filtering out phosphorus like they should, that phosphorus can come up high and the calcium can go low, and that causes real problems. It actually increases your risk of cardiovascular disease. So, dialysis, a lot of those people have high phosphorus levels. They have calcifications and itching, but pre-dialysis, this can cause a faster progression of kidney disease. So, I'll tell you why. Here in a minute, but when you're thinking about diet, when you eat a plant-based diet, it makes this really simple because basically, as long as you're eating, and when I say plant-based, I'm talking whole foods. I'm not talking a bunch of processed junk. Whole food, plant-based diet, that phosphorus in that food is bound to something called phytate. And humans do not have the enzyme called phytase to break that down. And so only 10 to 20% is absorbed. So you're not going to absorb it anyway. However, if you're eating an animal-based diet, animal foods are naturally, without additives, they're naturally rich in phosphorus, and about 40 to 60% of that natural phosphorus is absorbed. But there's additives. So additives are almost 90 to 100% absorbed. They put additives in meat, and you're going to find phosphorus additives in junk food. So that's what you want to avoid. So when you take it to that extreme of a dialysis patient, even if you're not, but this is just kind of driving home that message of you're not going to absorb as much phosphorus from fruits and vegetables, is that serum phosphate levels were significantly lower in vegetarian patients than in non-vegetarian patients on hemodialysis. So people who, if they ate a plant-based diet on dialysis, meaning their kidneys aren't working very well, their phosphorus levels were lower. KDIGO 2020 guidelines. Now, this is where things have changed, but even though the guidelines say this, change is slow, especially in the nephrology space. So the dietary, the guidelines, 2020 KDIGO guidelines, remember those are American guidelines, say that you do not limit phosphorus unless the lab indicates. And that is for pre and dialysis patients. So there is not a blanket phosphorus restriction for any person who's ever been told they have kidney disease, which I run into people thinking that all the time because of stuff on the internet. Now, there is another thing going down. So if you are a late stage kidney patient, if you are stage four, stage five, there is something going on. And you're never going to know it because they're not going to draw this lab. It's something called fibroblast growth factor 23, FGF23. This is a bone-derived like regulator of phosphorus metabolism. So your kidneys keep phosphorus, filter phosphorus. Your kidneys are like master chemists of the blood. They can tell what the blood needs and they'll excrete or keep, and they do that with phosphorus. Okay. But unless the kidneys aren't working like they should, and if the phosphorus level starts to become high, then the body will produce something called FGF23. And this is a phosphaturic hormone. And so what it does is it causes the body to excrete more phosphorus in the urine. So remember we saw that with when we were talking about acidosis with the endothelin, it causes the body to excrete more acid. But that wasn't a good thing because that endothelin increases inflammation levels. The same is true here of FGF23. Even though it's keeping your phosphorus level normal, because you hardly ever see a high phosphorus in a pre-dialysis patient. The reason is because in the background, this FGF23 is going up and you're peeing out more phosphorus. The problem with that is that FGF23 is independently associated with a faster progression of chronic kidney disease, and it is highly linked. Here we are again, cardiovascular disease. And so phosphorus load appears to stimulate this, but higher percentage of plant-based protein was associated with a lower FGF23. Again, we're not absorbing that phosphorus. So what can we do about phosphorus? So phosphorus tips, avoid phosphorus additives. Really, everyone should avoid phosphorus additives. They're not good for us. And we should all avoid junk processed food and animal protein, particularly those injected with phosphorus additives. And then eat plant-based. Know your labs. So again, in my second book, in the very front cover, it goes through all the labs that you should know. We've already talked about the glomerular filtration rate. We've already talked about that you should know where you land on the heat map. Know your phosphorus, know your potassium. And so you in that it'll tell you like what the lab is, what it indicates if it's high, what it indicates if it's low, what it should be, all of that sort of thing. But know your labs. And then if you are buying something in a package, here's the problem with phosphorus. And we have in the kidney world, we've lobbied to have this change, but it hasn't changed yet. But on the label, you're never going to see, it's never going to be listed like, you know how I'll say like sodium, this many milligrams and this percent of the daily value. Phosphorus isn't there like that. You have to go hunting for it. And so what you have to do is look at the list of ingredients. And if you see anything that sounds like phosphorus, like for here, the tripolyphosphate, okay, tripolyphosphate, that means that it has phosphorus additives in it. Dicalcium phosphate. It has phosphorus additives in it. So that's how you know. Okay, potassium. There are lots of causes of high potassium levels. So if you're a late stage kidney patient, a stage four or five, if you're taking an ACE inhibitor or an angiotensin receptor blocker or a potassium sparing diuretic, you should probably just keep an eye on potassium. I would keep an eye on potassium if you were working with me. But there was a study. So people always want to run to fruits and vegetables. Those are high in potassium. But there's a study looking at dietary potassium intake in dialysis patients. And the top 10 sources of dietary potassium in their diet was beef, chicken, Mexican food, hamburgers. You had to go through all those before you got down to legumes and fresh fruits and vegetables and things like that. And so a lot of times it's because, again, those things are injected with not only phosphorus, but also potassium additives. And so it can raise the potassium levels. Also, the higher fiber content increases transit time. Higher fiber content in fruits and vegetables increases the transit time in the gut, so there's less absorption of potassium. And so this is just a slide just showing just the difference between animal-based foods and plant-based foods and the difference in potassium. And so, you know, a lot of people go, oh, well, you know, beans are too high in potassium, but it's not that different. And you're going to have the fiber in the plant-based foods, particularly the beans are high in fiber, to stop the absorption of some of that potassium. But there's also non-nutritional causes of hyperkalemia. So, you know, before I run to diet and say that's what caused the potassium to go high, I'm going to be looking at a whole lot of other things. So here we are. Remember, I told you everything's cyclical. We're circling back to acidosis. I'm going to go over that in the next slide. But acidosis can cause high potassium. So can a high serum glucose. Different medications, which I just told you about, starvation. If you're sick in the hospital and you're not eating, you know, that can cause it. Chronic constipation because you're reabsorbing that potassium. Infection, GI bleed, blood transfusion. We know that sometimes people with kidney disease get blood transfusions, and that can raise your potassium level. And so we're back here at this potential renal acid load. Okay, so remember we talked about different foods can cause acidosis. If you are acidotic, here's what happens in the body. Potassium loves to live inside the cell. Okay, sodium is more extracellular, potassium is more intracellular. But when someone becomes acidotic, that causes that potassium to move out of the cell and into the blood, raising blood potassium. So when you're told as a pre-dialysis patient, stop eating all those fruits and vegetables, they're high in potassium, eat meat. Okay, well, we've already learned that meat is injected with potassium additives. meat also causes acidosis. And so you're becoming more acid, and now your potassium is leaving the cell and going into the blood and raising that way. So really, you're just spinning your wheels. It's not accurate information. So what I'm going to tell you is to eat high fiber plant-based foods, and then if it's still high, then there's other things you can do. You should probably be working with a dietitian if it's still high after that. Okay. So what can we do? Know your medications. Eat a high fiber diet and know your labs. Again, always know you be the master of your own body and your own labs. You're the driver. Everyone else comes alongside you and walks with you in your health journey. Okay, there are a few cautions with potassium, particularly if you're late stage. Never ever use a salt substitute like this one here, like no salt. There's another one called light salt, and that's because they've taken these and they've changed it from sodium chloride to potassium chloride. So there are real, those are really high in potassium. Also, if you're grinding a food like making smoothies or making juices and you're having issues with potassium, or you're late stage, or you're on one of those medicines that can raise potassium level, you may want to eat the whole food, because what you've done is you've ground the fiber cell or removed the fiber cell in the case of juicing, and you can make that potassium be a lot more bioavailable, and it can raise your levels. In fact, I was working with a vegan dialysis patient one time, and the only time her potassium ever really got high was when she was grinding high potassium fruits and vegetables. When she stopped doing that and just ate the whole food, it went back right back to normal. So again, now we're back at the KDOQI guidelines 2020 on potassium. And again, it is the same. It is you adjust it according to lab to maintain normal serum potassium. And that's blood potassium. So know your levels. If they're fine, do not go over restricting potassium or over restricting phosphorus. It's unnecessary. That is for a dialysis patient. And really, even in dialysis patients, you only restrict now according to KDOQI if the lab indicates. Okay, so moving on to sodium. Sometimes I forget salt, I think because there's so many other things that are not covered, and salt is so heavily covered for kidney disease that sometimes I accidentally leave it off, but we're not going to leave it off today. So what is salt? So we need some salt in our diet. Nutrient, you definitely don't need to add it. You'll get it. Nutrient absorption, it helps with nutrient absorption, blood pressure, hydration, all of these things. The problem is in America, people eat too much. Too much salt leads to bigger things like high blood pressure, which we know that high blood pressure and diabetes, high blood pressure and diabetes are the two main causes of kidney failure. It causes heart disease. Here we are back at heart disease again. So we're going to lower salt, not only for kidneys, but for our heart, and kidney disease. So where is salt? So it's not just in your salt shaker. If you're ever eating out, they're going to put salt in the food unless you tell them not to. If you go to a restaurant, you can ask for your food to be made a certain way. If you go to fast food, it can't, because they send that food to them. They're just assembling the food. They're warming it up and assembling it. So it's uniform in a fast food restaurant. But in a restaurant, you can't ask them when they're preparing your food to leave the salt off. Canned soups, you can't hardly buy soup in the store. Even lower sodium versions, a lot of times they're still pretty high in salt. And then salty snacks like pretzels and chips and things like that, pickles, things like that. Salt is on the nutrition facts label. So you can see here that it'll say sodium, and it'll tell you how many milligrams, because salt is sodium chloride. And so there's two different guidelines for salt. People always ask me, like, how much salt should I eat? And so the KDOQI guidelines say that for sodium intake and proteinuria, that you want to keep it like at less than 2.3 grams per day. And so that Yeah, really for pre-ESRD patients, 2.3 grams per day is the kind of the overall guideline for KDOQI. I feel like that's a little high. I don't even eat that much sodium and my kidneys work just fine. So I like the American Heart Association guidelines, which say no more than 2,300 milligrams a day, but ideally less than 1,500. So I like that a little bit better. And then it says even cutting back to 1,000 per day can improve heart and blood pressure. So, and remember, you can add spices to your food and increase the antioxidant level and lower the need for salt or sodium. And you can also use things like lemon, stuff like that helps kind of give a little bit of a salty flavor. And so when we're talking about salt, then we tend to need to talk about blood pressure. And so what is blood pressure? So blood pressure is the force of the blood pushing against the blood vessel walls as your heart pumps. Again, if you are running a high blood pressure and diabetes are the two main causes of kidney disease. A normal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. If your blood pressure is higher than this, it is not normal. I've had people come to me and say, my blood pressure wasn't that high. It may not have even been what they call that high, whatever that is, but their kidneys are damaged because of the blood pressure. Get your blood pressure down to less than 120 over 80. Now, one thing I will say this, if your kidneys are already damaged, remember I said that blood pressure causes kidney disease, but kidney disease, because kidneys are one of the main ways, and we're going to talk about that next of how blood pressure is controlled, can cause high blood pressure. So if your kidneys are damaged, you may not reach that, but that's the goal. It's still the goal for me. If I'm working with someone, even if they're, I don't care what stage they are, is to get that blood pressure down as low as I can. So high blood pressure, like I just said, can be a cause and a result of kidney disease, and it increases proteinuria. So it accelerates kidney damage. It causes those holes in that glomerular basement to open, to be too big, and the protein's coming through. So it's damaging the kidneys, and we can't have that. So what can we do? Salt and blood pressure. Non-diet strategies. So if you're overweight, lose weight. That takes the pressure off the heart and off the blood vessels and lowers the blood pressure. Stop smoking if you're a smoker and get regular exercise. Stress management is huge. Stress raises blood pressure. So doing things like deep breathing or yoga or going out for a walk. And then the diet strategy is to limit your salt intake and eat plant-based. And so we know that, in all the studies and everything that you look at, all the populations that eat plant-based, they have lower blood pressures. So, certain salt tips. So these are my little tips. Never salt at the table, like ever. Because there's just no sense in that. Stage one through three can use that salt substitute if necessary. Only buy organic low sodium canned goods. So canned salt, we talked about canned soup. It's pretty much, I haven't really found a good substitute for canned, not making soup at home, but soup's so easy to make at home. But organic canned goods, just canned beans or anything can be high in sodium. And so I say always buy organic low sodium. And the reason I say organic is because of that BPA lining in non-organic canned goods is just inflammatory and bad for us. Watch eating out. So the more you eat at home, the less salt you're going to get. If you're eating out, ask the chef to hold the salt. Soups need to be homemade, and salt likes to hide. So always read the label, which I showed you how to do that. A few of my favorites that Mrs. Dash is everywhere. It's cheap and it's delicious. I use Mrs. Dash all the time. Fresh herbs are amazing. They make food taste amazing. They're easy to grow. If I can grow them, you can grow them because they're basically weeds. And if I can grow anything, anybody can grow it. I struggle with my green thumb. Garlic and onions may make your breath stink, but eat them anyway. You can use basically food to season food. Onions is the perfect example of that. If you like saute, I use this broth. It's called Imagine a low sodium, no chicken broth. I'll use that instead of like a lot of heavy oils to saute onions, and it's delicious. Edward and Sons, and I have no connection to these companies. I don't, these are just things I use that I love. Edward and Sons has these low sodium No chicken bouillon cubes, which are so good and really good for people down here in the South, because people in the South, they love to put things like ham hock and bacon in their beans. And I really wish they would stop doing that. But you don't have to do that. You can get an Edward and Sons low sodium, no chicken bouillon cube and put that in your beans, and it makes them taste delicious. And you're gonna watch the salt using lemon, like I said before. And then there's another spice called sumac, which is super high in antioxidants. It has a bit of a salty flavor, but it's not that salty. So I love sumac. Another thing to think about, and when we were talking about the gut microbiome, we talked about things like kimchi and sauerkraut. Those are really high in salt. I wouldn't tell you not to eat those because they're so good for your gut. But what I will tell you to do is watch the amount. Remember that salt, look at the whole day, because people say, well, how much is too much in a food? So a guideline for food is, if you're looking at the label, like if you said 200 milligrams or less, that's a great guideline for the food. But remember to look across the day for that 1500 milligrams. So if you're eating a tablespoon of sauerkraut on your salad, and getting a little bit of salt, just make sure the rest of the day you're not salting your food or eating canned soups or things like that. So it's not going to run it up that high as long as you're watching the amount. So just remember to think across a day. Okay. So, I've carried us through a lot of concepts for kidney disease. I hope these have been helpful for you to understand how to slow the progression of your disease. What I want to ask you to do is get in the driver's seat of your disease, like really take control of it. Understand your medications, know what you're on, know the side effects. There are medications that increase progression of kidney disease. Over-the-counter medications, things like ibuprofen, any non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medication will cause progression of kidney disease. Are you on one of those? There's prescription ones. Do you take Advil too much? So know your medicines. Ask for a copy of and understand your labs. Consistency is key when it comes to diet and lifestyle. Ask to see a dietitian. Live your life. You're not your disease. Your overall health feels overall better, so improve that. This is my book, the newest one. It's available on Amazon. It's Plant-Fed Kidneys for the Patient. And then if you need to contact me, this is my website. This is where you find me on Instagram, and this is my email.